Welcome to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Each week on this program, Jeff and his guests share their expertise, personal anecdotes, and the latest industry news to keep you in the loop. Now, to provide you with insight and help you navigate the consistently changing world of real estate lending, here is your host for The Mortgage Voice, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning into the show, listening to us on a weekly basis as we come to you to try to bring to you some sanity about what's going on in the mortgage and real estate world in San Bernardino and Riverside counties, as well as a large portion of Southern California. This show reaches all kinds of different people in different ways. We have a nice radio station, KCAA, which is an AM-FM signal, and we come to you via the airwaves on Saturday and Sunday. We have a YouTube channel. Jeff Barton, The Mortgage Voice, is our YouTube channel, and you can go there 24/7, see what we do. You know, we get a lot of likes, and we get a lot of people who join that particular method of how we're delivering the show. So if you want to do that, do it. Join up. Click that you like it. You can see archive shows, hundreds of shows there, as a matter of fact. I get binge watchers on The Mortgage Show, and don't ask me why, but it seems to be a way by which people get at least a feel for me, as if not the information that's out there. We're also on a number of different podcasts we'll get to later. And again, I am Jeff Barton, and welcome to The Mortgage Voice. Okay, so there have been a lot of developments over the last couple, 3 weeks. What's happening in the world economy? What's happening in the housing market? It is the spring buying season. We finally, in Southern California, have Southern California-like weather. It has been historically cold this time of year, and it hasn't really changed much about the buying habits or people going out to look at houses or people trying to get into contract. What has dampened or cooled the market have been the mortgage interest rates. And the mortgage interest rates continue to be something that is preventing a large number of people, those in the millennial group, certainly in Gen Z and Gen X, those people who are hot to buy a house in a reasonable way here in Southern California, kind of shut out of the market. If you get 7%, 6.5% to 7% is the 30-year. Well, I'll just tell you what it is. Why do I go in generalities? Okay, so this is what it is today. And again, all these mortgage interest rates that we quote, they're kind of averages of what we have across. I go to the Mortgage News Daily. It's a great site, although they continually change the information they give to me for free. Not that they're going to charge me, but somebody must be whispering in their ear that if they print that kind of information, they could be liable. Regardless, what used to be a six different figures that I would give you in terms of mortgage interest rates is now four. I don't know why they're doing it that way, but that is what they're doing. 30-year fixed rate, 7.06%. The 15 years at 6.58%. FHA is at 6.55%, and the jumbo is at 7.35%. Now, if you are a prime borrower, you can get better than this. Now, what do I mean by prime? We all know what that means. We go right to the credit score. If your credit score is above 740, you are prime candidate to get out there and get the best rates possible, which will beat all these rates by a significant amount. If you are not that, if you are in the 620 to 680, 720 range, you're going to get these rates, something like that. And then, of course, if you're below 620, 580, that sort of tells us that you are a credit risk of sorts, and therefore you're going to pay a lot higher interest rates. A lot of these people in the low interest rate category, I mean the low credit score category, they go FHA. FHA goes down to 580. You're not really penalized as much as you would be. FHA, as I quoted to you before, 6.5%. So it's not a horrible rate to begin with. The thing with FHA, as you all know, comes with insurance that you pay for, 1.25%. There's an upfront funding fee, and then you pay that 1.25% over the course of the loan throughout the year. So your actual interest rate ends up being a little bit more, but you're insured. So if you do get into trouble, or you know, there's a problem, you get fired or laid off, or there's a massive recession, or all the bad things that people continually say in the news to drive people to watch the news so that they can be you know, well prepared when the bad news happens. Of course, it hasn't for years now that we've been predicting bad news in the economy, bad news in inflation. Oh, actually, that is bad news. So anyway, so all this being what it is, the mortgage interest rates that you're going to be able to get with your FHA, it is protecting you, so that's a good thing. And protecting you as the borrower is always a good thing. Now, I was in the lending business for a lot of years. I was a mortgage broker, and then a mortgage lender, and then a mortgage banker. And all of these categories, which is confusing to most people, heck, it's confusing to me, really. They require different kinds of licensing and different kinds of expertise, and the way that the products are bought and sold to the public. But what I see today, based on my, I don't know, 30 years experience in the business, in terms of the interest rates, are a lot like major economists. There's an economist for NAR, El Aaron, Mohammed El Aaron, and he's pretty good at predicting what's going on, but very good at describing what's going on. And he, along with a lot of other people, whether it's Jamie Dimon or whether it's a couple of the board chairmen at the Fed, are saying, look, these high interest rates that we currently have, now they're not historically the highest, but they are high over the last 6 or 7 years. They're pretty high, right? They're as high as they were prior to the pandemic, and they haven't come down. Kind of like that stubborn inflation that we continually get nagged about. It's here to stay, these high interest rates. And what do I mean by that is the economy, and we can all argue about whether the economy is good for you or whether it's good for them or however you want to position yourself politically, the economy is doing great, okay? I mean, it just is. Now, whether you can get the job you want that pays you what you want, whether you are in an industry that doesn't necessarily reflect how good the economy is and has been for quite some time, I get that. And I get the anecdotal information. But numbers don't lie. Although, during the past 3-4 shows that we've had, yes, I've said numbers can be exaggerated, and they can be revised. We talked about the government inflation numbers. We talked about the government GDP numbers. We talked about all kinds of things that gets produced by the government and then revised month, 2 months later. So was that a lie to begin with, or is it more just about that's the way the process works? I think it's more about that's the way the process works. But again, the economy is doing great. And confounding thing with that is, unless we see the Fed cut their prime interest rate, which is 5.25% to 5.75% in terms of what their member banks pay on an overnight basis, unless we see the Fed begin to cut, we are not going to see mortgage rates go down. They are in competition for the money that's out there, whether they're buying mortgage-backed securities or whether they're buying the Fed bonds, which is the debt that the Fed sells in order to keep the whole machine going. All of this is dependent on the Fed interest rate. And right now, from what I read today, it doesn't look like the Fed is going to budge off of this longer, higher for longer sentiment that they've had since, I don't know, since they started raising rates a year and a half ago. And because of that, we're going to be in a high interest rate environment for mortgages for the foreseeable future. Now, what's the foreseeable future? 6 months. If I said a year, I would be lying because nobody knows what's going to happen in a year. There's so much going to be happening in the next 6 months. And we all know the big boom that's going to happen regardless of who wins the election. We're going to see an upheaval in the way people treat each other and how markets respond to that, and what would a second term be? What would a second term be for either one of these people? And how much of that is going to, you know, be dependent on world markets? We still have two wars that we're involved with. I don't know. It's one of these situations right now, as I said, if you're a home buyer and you're looking to get a mortgage and you're looking for rates to be more friendly and less, I don't know, less expensive, it's not going to be during this summer, and it's not going to be in the fall. Sorry to tell you. Anyway, I'm Jeff Barton. I've got some positive news for you, too, in another segment. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For questions or comments, send emails to info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning into the show, and welcome. We are on each and every week. KCAA is our radio station, broadcasting to the Inland Empire, some parts of Los Angeles, some Inyo, out to Palm Springs, and some bits and pieces, depending on the day, of Orange County. Anyway, thank you for listening to the show, and welcome. We talk about real estate. We talk about mortgages, primarily. Can you afford it, and do you want to get that house at a higher price than you were expecting to get this summer? I know we'd all been predicting how rates might be lower. Well, they're not lower. And unfortunately, that's probably the way they're going to stay for a while. But before all that, we are on a number of different podcasts, and these podcasts are available for you, as well as our KCAA and, of course, our own website, themortgagevoice.com. Daryl, do you have a list of those podcasts, please?
Sure do, Jeff. It's
Thank
Apple
you.
Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Spreaker, Stitcher, iHeartMedia, Odyssey, YouTube, podclips.io, and, of course, themortgagevoice.com.
Okay, mortgagevoice.com, I just mentioned that, and podclips.io, great place to centralize your podcasting wants and desires. A lot of good information, good people there to talk about either lifestyle or dispute resolution or my own financial show or sports or any other kind of podcast that you might be able to think of. One thing about podcasts is that you have to really get into listening to it more than one time so that you get a feeling for the show and the people that are on it and the expertise they bring. If you do that with podclips.io, you don't have to go anyplace else. Great place to start, great place to end. Podclips.io, that's my pitch. Anyway, I'm Jeff Barton, and this is The Mortgage Voice. I'm looking at Daryl, and he's laughing at me because I pitch that every week, don't I? Do I get better and better?
Every time.
That's great. Okay, so let's get right to news to use in this particular section. Share of homes with price reductions, 15%, which is the highest it's been in 5 years. Think about that for a second. We talk a lot about the unaffordability of housing, and we usually talk about it because there's two reasons, right? High mortgage and high price. Well, we've got a number that we haven't seen in 5 years. Matter of fact, all over the places I go to, whether it's Housing Wire or Mortgage News Daily, I do go to MSN. I go to some pretty popular public sites and click on whatever their financial data is and look around to see what's happening in the news, because that's what people are talking about. That's what, obviously, the internet is about, how many times things get watched, hit, and then they just keep popping up. So on my particular feed, that's what happens. I get your input based on what I see on my computer, and this is what I'm seeing. 15% of the houses out there have had price reductions this year. Now, that number, as I said, is the largest it's been in 5 years. Now, what does that actually mean? It means that some markets aren't as great or aren't as in demand as other markets. And we see a choppy patchwork of these reductions all over the place. There are a number of home sale areas that have done poorly in their home sales. Most of them were the, what did they call them when the escape from the city in order to buy a house in the country because it was all remote, whatever that term is and was called during the pandemic, which now is in the rearview mirror quite a couple years now. But those people in those cities moved back to the city. And so the areas whereby, you know, the vacancies happened aren't doing as well. And so, therefore, we've seen a lot of price reductions. We've even seen some fall more than just a couple percentage points. Anyway, I have a list of a couple of them here, and I will. Portland, Oregon, the median list price is down 1.2% year over year. Okay, it doesn't sound like a lot, right? But $500,000 means it's, you know, $2,500 less. So that that's a significant number. Hey, if you had a cell phone and you pay $100 a month, that's 2 years worth of cell phone. So these numbers actually do mean something, even though the price of the house is probably exorbitant, can't afford it anyway. San Francisco, another place, 1.3% down. San Antonio, Raleigh, North Carolina. But a couple of big ones, which I will talk about here. Oklahoma City, which had really been one of the surprise cities where people were moving to because it was both affordable and it was, as I said, an escape from other places where you're doing your remote work from. You can live anywhere. But that went down 7.4% year over year. Now, that's pretty significant. Now, Oklahoma City, you're not going to find the median house price there is probably $350,000 to $400,000. If you go down 7%, that's a big number. And that's usually the number you're going to need for your deposit in order to buy the house anyway. So if you're having a reduction in the price of the house, and that reduction represents what you need for the down payment, that's very significant. And, of course, number one on the list was Miami, Florida, down 8.2%. Now, Miami is one of these markets where prices went crazy. And I have to digress just for a second. Politics is a funny, funny world, right? The guy, Ron DeSantis, 2 years ago or 18 months ago, was the hottest name in politics. And we had these cultural wars between he and Disney, and everybody was flocking to Florida. And you know how it is when it's the flavor of the month. Maybe that's just the media. It probably is. But now we hardly hear from the guy. We don't know anything about it. And here now we see that Florida real estate in and of itself is falling, the attraction. But I love Miami. I love South Florida. Been there many, many times. It's always a great place to go, especially in the winter. In the summer, you can have it. It's like going to Arizona. No chance. Even here in where we are, in San Bernardino Riverside, it's hot, right, in the summertime. Anyway, let's get to a couple other things. Inflation. Inflation is up. Now, we will, by the time this show airs, have heard about the CPI number. We probably are going to see a sideways or mixed number whereby some of the values of certainly gas here in Southern California, anybody who drives, which is everybody, you know gas is expensive. You know that it is continually going up. Now, I've read 3-4 articles about why gas, and it is just, it's one of those irritants in my world. Because it affects everybody. It is a universal tax that never quits. And we're never quite sure why the numbers go up and down. And when things are cheap, like a barrel of oil, like if a barrel of oil is $75 to $80, we should see a significant drop in the cost of a gallon of gas. But we never do. However, if we go from $80 to $85 a barrel, we see 10, 15 cent a gallon jump every time, which over the course of a month means, I don't know, I'm filling my tank up about 5-6 times during a month. So that's another 20, 30 bucks, maybe 50 bucks a month, times me, times, I don't know, it's probably 20 million drivers. So it's one of the things that inflation-wise that we're going to see in the CPI report. And that CPI report is going to reflect the fact that, yes, the core inflation number, which excludes gas, which is, to me, the most important part, and it excludes the volatility of food. So everything else within that, and shelter always is the number one. So what is happening with the price of shelter? What is happening with the price of rentals? What is happening with home prices? Now, we've seen, as I just was saying, in some markets we see prices actually go down year over year. Now, In San Bernardino Riverside, we've seen it probably gain 3 to 4% last year, and probably we'll see it gain another 3 to 4% this year. The main driver of those prices, and they're not outrageous, okay? They're not the 10, 15% that they were during COVID in some markets in those areas. But the reason that we see that is because we have such scarcity. Now, you can go up to 15. You can go to some of the cities down in East San Diego County and get a much cheaper deal. But if you want to live in the prime areas in those two counties, it's going to cost you 3 or 4% more than it did last year. And the reason is there just aren't enough houses. And that's a problem. And that's a problem that's not going to go away anytime soon. Even if they drop the mortgage interest rate, you're still going to have to pay more because the demand is there, and the housing west of that is more expensive, and east of that, yeah, you could, like I say, find cheaper, but it's a further commute. Anyway, I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For questions or comments, send emails to info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning into the show, for listening to us on a weekly basis as we try to solve some of the problems you have, figuring out the next step you're going to make in that home purchase, home sale. Maybe you want to do a refi. Maybe you got a lot of equity in that home. Anyway, there's all kinds of ways by which we can help you. But before we get there, I just wanted to tell you we have a website, themortgagevoice.com. We've been around about 10 years. The show, if you go to YouTube, Jeff Barton, The Mortgage Voice, you can hear the archive shows as well as the weekly show that we do for KCAA in the Inland Empire, San Bernardino, Riverside counties. And if you go to that website, kcaa.com, you can also hear the archive shows that we put on each and every week for a decade. Yes, that's right. 10 years in, we're still giving out really good advice. So if you're out there and you're listening, we really appreciate it. Thank you very much. In regards to that, the advice that I give is probably not the greatest, but the experts that we bring on the show are Tony Massey is the regional sales manager for Hometown Equity, and he joins us now. First time I've talked with him. Tony, how are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself, Jeff?
Thank you. I am doing well, very much so. I'm glad that the weather has changed a little and it's a little bit warmer. I was so cold for so long, I forgot where I lived.
Well, that's true. Well, we are getting in the warm season here, and with that, a lot more activity. Hopefully, people moving in the housing industry and getting to that time where people start to look for those purchases of new homes and new school zones and everything that comes with that real estate market.
Okay, excellent. Great segue, because that's exactly what I wanted to talk about. Over at Hometown, what are you guys seeing as to this spring market, which might be different from the last one, and some of the products you've got that might address the situations of either high interest rates or people with low down payment? What are you guys doing there to help the current market?
Well, we have a number of different products here at Hometown Equity Market. As you know, the ever-changing real estate market as it is, and the influx of the higher rates that we're currently in. But there are still a number of options for every different type of situation out there regarding maybe a refinance or a purchase.
Okay.
Regarding that refinance market, a lot of people over the past few years with the extraordinary low interest rates have locked into that, you know, 30-year fix in that 2 to 3 to 4 right. interest rate range, and they love their payment. They don't want to really change their payment, but you know, they're up against maybe a tighter market where they're you know during a recession, you may have a little, your expenses are getting a little tighter, and maybe you can draw on that equity in your home to help soften things up and live that lifestyle that you need. One of those first products that we came out with was a standalone second.
Okay.
So this is not like a HELOC to where it's like a credit card on your house. This is a standalone, either a 15, 20, or 30-year fix, as second mortgage, so it's second lien position. You have to take the cash out, and then you're adding on to your CLTV and accessing the extra cash value that you have in the component because you have so much value in your property without changing your first. So you're adding an additional payment. You need to have a decent credit score of a 680 or higher. That's a mid-FICO out of the three bureaus. You're going to be able to access this product in two document types. That would be either full traditional doc, W-2s, tax returns, or bank statements. If you're a business owner and you write off a lot on your taxes, but you have a good cash flow in your business bank statement in your business, you're able to qualify, add that depending on the percentage of ownership in that business is how we would calculate the expense factor on those bank statements.
Tony, can I ask you a quick question? Let me jump in here. Now, with being in the second position, do you care at all what the first loan is? I mean, are you looking at the documentation they provided for the first loan and are saying, hey, if you provided it to them, maybe you should provide it to us? Or is this just a completely new loan that you don't really worry about anything except the payment and the appraisal?
Absolutely. So it's debt ratio oriented because you are providing income. Has nothing to do. Yes, we care about your first. We need to know what current loan to value you're currently sitting at in order to calculate our CLTV, our combined LTV, to know that we don't breach those limits. We can go on a primary, you know, anywhere from up to, with the full documentation, 720 score to an 80 CLTV. We have a second plus where we're able to 740 score to go to a 90 CLTV on a primary.
Yeah, that's
good. So there is some room there. You can also do second homes. You can to an 80 LTV and investment properties up to a 75 LTV, and that's full doc.
That's strong. Those are pretty strong products on the second. How successful have you been on them?
They are it's a very good product the way it's built. You have to be careful of the margins only in the fact that you can't reach the high cost limit to where it and kind of Maven fails. So you got the comps regulated on that. The brokers can only make a point and a half. So it's reasonable, it's contained, but it is another alternative if you don't want to refi after that out of that first. So that would be one of the products that we do find that's pretty popular.
No, that's a great product. Giving people an option to get money out of their house without killing them on the rate. What is the rate on these products?
You're going to be, depending on your CLTV and your FICO score, you could reach that 10 range, nine range, depending on what your CLTV is at. Now, obviously, if your first is at $300,000, we wouldn't suggest you take an additional $300,000 out. That's not going to make sense at that 9-10%. But if you're looking anywhere, you know, from the $75,000 to $150,000 to where it's going to make sense because you are adding another payment.
So
no prepay.
Okay, so there's that no is the basic amount is about $75,000 to $150,000. That's about the average of what you're given.
Yeah, that couple hundred thousand dollar range, again, depending if you're hitting those $1 million properties and they're at low LTV and they've got $700,000, they want an additional three or four, we can accommodate those products as well.
That's great. I love the product. We talk to a lot of lenders and a lot of account executives, sales managers from all kinds of lenders across the country, and this second seems to be as good, if not better, than most of the ones we talk about and present on the show, so I appreciate you doing that.
Absolutely.
Hey, one thing, we have about 2 minutes left. I wanted to get your take on what's happening in the real estate market. Now, some markets, we've seen some price reductions. Some markets, we have seen, you know, increase in prices. How are you evaluating each and every property in this particular market? Are appraisals changing for you all? I know that we're possibly going to a new appraisal model, so I was just wondering how Hometown is dealing with it. Who they're selling their secondary to, all that kind of stuff, which really is the way that you guys are going to be able to secure the loans and be able to lend the money.
Yeah, I'm not going to talk too much about the secondary market.
Okay.
I will tell you that each file is pretty much on an individual basis. I mean, you really have to look at this business I've been in for 20 years, no person's one loan is the same as another. They have different credit requirements or credit situations. They have different types of properties that are out there. So on an individual basis, assessing whether it's a two-unit, multifamily, you know what's really popular now are SFRs with the ADUs added to them.
Uh-huh.
So people are looking to ways to maximize their property value with the Airbnb and the AirDNAs that are out there to make those investment properties really more attractive out there on the market. And one of those products that we really focus on the investment side is a no income. We call it a noni or a near noni, and it's basically a DSCR loan, debt service coverage ratio,
right?
To where the property is qualified off the asset itself. You still have to have good credit, but you're using absolutely no income.
Right.
This is a good way for that seasoned or new investor to really optimize their property, either on the purchase side or the refi cash out side, and still not have to use income off the asset. And we keep the reserve requirement pretty low. If you're over a 1.0 DSCR, we'd be more than happy to go over that calculator and show you how that works.
Great.
But you know, we don't require reserves on that product if you're over a 1.0 DSCR. So very popular product out there nationwide.
Tony, we are up against it. That went fast, and I appreciate you coming on the show. Great information on both of those products, plus some of your own opinions about where we're heading and the type of market we're in. Thanks very much. I want to have you back soon, so thanks very much for coming on the show.
Absolutely. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. And Tony, you want to shout out a number by which people can get a hold of you if they want to talk more about these programs?
Absolutely. Tony Massey, my phone number is 805-551-2541. Answer your phone call anytime in Hometown Equity Mortgage. You can look it up online.
Thank you very much. That's Tony Massey from Hometown Equity. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For questions or comments, send emails to info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning into the show, listening to us each and every week as we bring to you the best information that we have. Now, a lot of that means that the information that we have is reported information. We don't have inside information as to what's happening in the banks, what's happening in the Fed, what's happening in your particular world. But experience tells us that if we haven't seen it, it will be a rare time that actually that happens, because being around 20, 30 years in the business, I've seen a lot. I've seen a lot of ways that people can get help and a lot of ways that people can be hurt if they choose the wrong person to go to work with. And that's why we bring the best people on the show to be able to tell you or aid you in your decision-making process. One of these people who comes on the show all the time, and we're really grateful that he does that, from United Security Financial, is Charles Giscombe, and he joins us now. Chuck, how are you?
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me again.
Okay, and thank you very much. Sorry, I started out a little serious. The reason is that it's kind of a serious market, in that people really are having some difficulties in trying to get into the market. And as I was preparing for the show today, I was going over some notes from past shows and talking about how people think about what's happening in the market versus how people can act because of their own situation, meaning that you probably could do it, but your mind's telling you not to do it. And I always say, look, you can't take advantage of anything in the real estate market unless you get in the real estate market, and that requires a loan, and that's where we come in. What are your thoughts on that? Just about how taking advantage of the market is in your best interest rather than sitting on the sidelines waiting for someone to give you a green light.
Absolutely. Because what we have to understand is that we've been through this before.
Yep.
This is a cycle. And the reality of it is, it will correct itself. We're coming up on election year, and different things happen
right
that cause the market to be volatile. The reality of it is that the properties have not started to depreciate. We still have properties that are of value and appreciation occurring, which means there's opportunity in the market for you to get in. Right now, you should have a loan professional that is speaking to you in terms of short-term and long-term goals. Short-term goals are doing what we need to do financially right now to get into the properties. The long-term goals are obviously strategically refinancing at a later time when the interest rate do correct themselves and become lower. That is what someone should be talking to you about now. I think the most important thing from an originator standpoint is, when you're speaking to a new client, what you need to do is you need to let them know that obviously the interest rates are not great. They will get better. But what are the value-added terms that you can have in your loan that will allow you to be able to transact at the drop of a dime when the interest rates do correct themselves. So those are no prepayment penalties, interest rates that may be 40 years, and I mean terms that may be 40 years instead of 30 years, which will allow you to make a lower payment. Different things that you can do and value-added services that you can add to a loan term that will allow you to write a lower check. No mortgage insurance, things of that nature. Things that will allow your check writing monthly to be lower so that when the market does correct itself and the interest rates do lower, you will be able to refinance into those interest rates. And those are the interest rates that we will lock in for long term.
You know, I in reading at Housing Wire a couple days ago, seeing that United Wholesale is involved in a lawsuit, and it, United Wholesale and the way they do their business and how they have brokers sort of assigned to them, and they try to get you to send all your loans to them. There has been the realtor lawsuits out there about the way the NAR and the way the MLS is price fix. There seems to be an attack on the credibility in our business of professionals. How do you deal with that?
What you have to do is you have to understand anything like mortgages, anything that has to do with the market, stock market, anything having to do with these kind of things, there's always going to be a lot of compliance, a lot of red tape around it. So what you have to do is you just have to explain to individuals that although there may be certain issues, for the most part, this is one of the longest lasting industries that in history, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not going to be something that's going to change or be stopped. There's always going to be a couple bad apples in a bunch. But that's why you get trained, licensed professionals that will get you involved in situations. And as long as you keep it forthright and transparent with your clients on what they can and cannot do, and how this is not the best market right now, but it is a lucrative market, and you'll be okay. Because there's always going to be that. In every industry that you're in, there's going to be some situations where it's not going to be favorable, or someone's going to have an issue, or you know, a big company's going to be attacked. Because when you deal with the public, it doesn't matter if it's a $20,000 loan or a $20 million loan, there's going to be someone with an issue, and there's someone's going to come after somebody. That's just what happens.
In the search to try to get the best products for the client, what are you seeing out there right now that is both popular and something that most of your, or at least you're presenting to a lot of your clients as a viable option?
We always talk about the alternative to traditional financing.
Mm-hmm.
Traditional mortgages, and I like to say that again because I always like to spell it out and explain myself. Traditional mortgages are mortgages that are done that require you to have 2 years tax returns, paycheck stubs, 50 days bank statement, okay, your W-2s. Those are traditional,
mm-hmm.
right? That's traditional financing. Those are loans are going to get you the lowest interest rate available because you provide the most documentation, okay? And obviously what they're backed by. If you're dealing with Ginnie Mae, you're going to be dealing by government more insured securities. So what happens is that they're going to be the most particular in regards to the documentation. What we've been finding that is now because of the interest rates being high, it's the loans that provide the path of least resistance to get financed, to get approved. That allows more, more leeway in the qualifications. That's a non-QM loan. Jeff and I talk about it often, but it obviously is a great alternative to traditional mortgages, because those mortgages provide you an opportunity to get into the loan, okay, and you are allowed to do that with less paperwork, meaning now instead of tax returns and W-2s, you can use your bank statements, personal or business. Or you can use a profit and loss statement from
right.
your CPA if you're an entrepreneur, okay? All of those, these are type of loans that you can get into that you don't have to provide your tax returns. They provide a competitive interest rate, not as low as a traditional Fannie or Freddie or Ginnie, but they do provide you an opportunity to get a fairly competitive interest rate, and they also have less paperwork. And at the end of the day, these are loans that can go up to $2, $3, or $4 million with no mortgage insurance. So there is no jumbo. It's just a loan, you're not going to be hit, or there's not going to be any overlays for a loan size larger than the conforming loan amount. So these are great programs and products to get into that are competitive with traditional mortgages. If you're looking to get in and you feel like your documentation or your structure is not conducive to a traditional mortgage.
Now, we talk about non-QM all the time, and I think that non-QM is almost as competitive in different ways than a traditional mortgage. Now, it's not because it's this time or this market. I just see it as an evolution of the borrower. You have a lot of borrowers that like that difference between a traditional mortgage and a non-QM mortgage. They just like the non-QM world. So I think it's built upon, yes, there's a need because traditional mortgages lay out more paperwork that you need. But on the other hand, you can get a great mortgage in the non-QM world, and I think that market itself is its own market. It's not because you can't do one that you do the other. It's you do the non-QM because it's a better product for you.
You know what, Jeff? Jeff makes a great point. Jeff, you're making a great point. And the reason why is because now the bar has now changed a little bit. A lot of them become more savvy. A lot of them become more aware of the facts of as being entrepreneurs, as filing your taxes and the way to file your taxes. A lot of times the way you file your taxes is usually based upon if you are going to purchase a home or what you're going to do in the future. But now QM borrower now says, this structure is more conducive to my lifestyle and my business practice. And I believe that providing bank statements shows you exactly my ability to repay. Okay? It'll show you that without having to go through the rigmarole, your taxes and different stuff.
Right.
So I think that this is the structure. And at the same time, Jeff makes a very great point. You can get a 90% LTV non-QM loan. That's 10% down. That's a great loan that you can get with no loan limit liability. There's no loan limit. Like, you know, if you can go up to $3 million, you can go up to $3 million. It's not going to be a loan, whatever particular area code, zip code, or state you live in. It's just if that's what the price of the house is, we don't have another a conforming loan situation, and there's no mortgage insurance. So at the end of the day, now you're not paying that additional mortgage insurance you would have to pay on a loan or a traditional loan or a government loan, which is a great, great way to get into a property.
Agreed. Hey, listen, we are out of time. That went fast. I appreciate you coming on the show as always. Shout out a way by which people can get in touch with you, if you would.
Absolutely. Great. You can reach me at charles@usfwholesale.net. That's charles@unclesamfrankwholesale.net. Or you can reach me at good old 702-328-5191.
Thank you, Charles, for coming on the show. Good job. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jeff. Thanks for having me always, Mike.
Absolutely. Charles Giscombe from United Security Financial. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For questions or comments, send emails to info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning in, listening to us on a weekly basis as we bring to you information, news, possibly you can use in your decision-making process, whether you're going to do that refi, whether you're going to purchase that house, how you're going to select the lender you want to use, what programs we're going to get involved with in terms of the loan itself. Yeah, we cover all that stuff. One of the things that we talk about when I'm talking only is we try to get involved with some of the macro that's out there and how that might affect your decision-making process as well. Certainly, how you feel about things affects what you think about things. I know that a lot of people are left side or right side brain and they try to segregate them, but that's not really how it works. If you're feeling great at work one day and you come home and there's kids are screaming and the dinner's late and whatever else you're doing, you can feel better about it because you had a good day at work. On the reverse side, if you had a lousy day at work and you come home and everything's peaceful and calm, you can make things pretty chaotic very quickly. So in regards to all that, that's what we try to do in sections that I cover and talk about on the program. Okay, if you want to see us, YouTube, Jeff Barton, The Mortgage Voice, go there. If you like websites, themortgagevoice.com, you can see and hear some of the guests that we have on the show, find an easier way to, by which you can get in touch with them. We've talked to you about our podcasts, and of course, we're on KCAA radio station, AM/FM, and we're on Saturday and Sunday in the Inland Empire. So all these things are ways by which you can get involved with what we do. Say you like what we do. If you go to these home pages, you go to these programs, you go to YouTube, and join up. We have a posse of people who listen to us and participate, and I really appreciate that they do that. Okay, so I want to talk a little bit about what's happening in the workforce. We talked several weeks ago and a little bit earlier in an earlier segment of the show about information, whether information can be considered truthful or can be considered something you can rely upon. Now, if you go to the real estate market and you say, okay, that house, call the realtor, what's it cost, can I see it? Okay, you're pretty sure about what you're seeing and what it's valued at. Although, what it's valued at is always dependent on market conditions, and the appraisal you get, the appraiser you get. For instance, in some redlining cases that we've talked about on the show during the past year, if you are a particular seller or you're a particular buyer of a certain ethnic group or certain racial group, and you have an appraisal, and the appraisal comes in all wackadurgle, well, yeah, it has to do with that, and there have been lawsuits aplenty about redlining and, race-based appraisals. However, most of the information that you're going to get about houses is pretty straightforward and right in front of you. One of the things that we talk about on the show is the inflation numbers, as well as the job numbers. In the job world, just as an example, we've been talking about the availability of jobs in the marketplace nationwide and how that number is so huge that obviously we can't fill the number of jobs that are out there. Now, there's a number of theories as to why that is, and one of the things that most people talk about when they talk about that is, oh, the reason there are so many jobs is because the way people calculate the number of jobs available has changed significantly over the last 5 years. Main reason, COVID. COVID sent a lot of people home, sent a lot of people home to work remote. These remote jobs that are available and still are available and still are promoted in many industries. I have children in the remote world, which they do their job, which is QC, or it is programming, or it's any number of jobs related to online work and computer work. These jobs are not being counted correctly. So we look at a number like, let's say, there are 9.6 million job openings across the nations. So if they're going to, let's say, these online companies, Indeed, or there are many of them. There's about 12, 13, 14 of them nationally in different markets, of course. But if, for instance, companies are saying jobs are available, but they aren't available, what they're looking to do is collect resumes for either future work or to give an idea as to what's out there in the marketplace in terms of jobs. So that's one way by which the number of jobs available can be skewered. Now, we know that there are a certain number of people unemployed. Now, we know that that number is 6.5 million people are unemployed. And the spread between the jobs available number that's given, which may not be true, and the jobs the unemployment people, you know, it's, let's say, 3 million people. And that positive number is a way by which we can say, hey, the economy is doing great. We have all these jobs available. The question for us is that number absolutely true? And if it isn't true, can we rely upon the job openings number, the unemployment number? And the unemployment number is important because a lot of things revolve around employment in terms of the psyche. You are the buyer out there. You're worried about your job. You see unemployment is ticking up. You're probably going to pull back and not buy or make the leap into a mortgage at 7, 8%, whatever it is that you can get. And these are the types of things, especially in our country is driven by numbers. That's especially in business. Now, I talked earlier about how when we talk about numbers, whether it's inflation or unemployment, that we have revised numbers all the time. And we had a jobs report come out last Friday, 300 and where is that number? I think it's 300,000 jobs were created. Now, what does that mean? It means that 300,000 new people have been hired. What are the kinds of jobs that they're being hired in? What types of salaries are they getting? We know that from last year, we see a 6% increase in the salary that employees are getting paid. Now, if we're running at 3.25% thereabouts inflation rate, we can see that by the numbers now, not by what is real, but by these numbers, that there is a spread of a certain percentage of money that you're making more than what is actually being either taxed to you or more than what inflation is, which is, again, 3.25%. So that says to you that the economy is strong and that people are still spending money. This is the confounding factor in what's happening in the economy all over the country. We see conflicting information. For instance, the CPI numbers we talked about, let's say it comes in tomorrow at 4.3%, 4.2%. That's a sideways move from where it was. That's the total CPI number. Let's say the core CPI comes in at 3.3%, which is a 0.1% uptick. People will freak out because we will then say we're not going to have a reduction by the Fed of their interest rate, which means for you as the homeowner, for you as the borrower, you're not going to see a reduction in that mortgage interest rates. Now, we say all the time they are not intrinsically linked. They are tangentially linked, meaning that as a rule, it tends to follow that mortgage interest rates will fall when we have the Fed cut interest rates. That's a generality that's not necessarily true, but it seems to be anecdotally true when we talk about what happens in the long run when we talk about these numbers. So when you're out there and you're trying to make a decision, look, it's, what is it today? It's April, right? Tax day is coming up in a week. You're trying to figure out, okay, I got to move. I got to buy a new house. I got a, you know, a new job that's coming up somewhere else. Are these job numbers real? Look at all these job openings, which means that I can leave my job comfortably, go get a job for more money. I already know that salaries are 6% more than they were last year. I'm beating inflation, so maybe I should make the move. It's very, very data dependent, and you're relying on this data. Check with the professionals in the business. Make sure that you have the numbers to back up your move, and make sure that the down payment, the monthly payment, the insurance costs, and all of the other calculations you need to make are being done with you and obviously some financial advisor. Your mortgage broker can help you. Your real estate agent can help you. All these things are very important. But as we go through how you feel psychologically about all this, I'd still feel pretty good. I think the economy is in pretty good shape. I think that we're going to see certain things with the CPI number tomorrow or Friday, rather. Past Friday when you hear the show, is going to be concerning, but it's not going to be out of line. It's going to kind of be what it has been the last 2 months. We're drifting sideways in inflation, but yet we've seen the number for your pay, how much you get paid on a monthly, go up, and that's a good thing. Anyway, I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for listening. We'll see you next time.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. For more on today's topic, visit www.malibufunding.net.